Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 12th of December, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Dr. Clifford Gross, Chairman at Tech Capital, TEK. And Clifford gives an update on their portfolio of companies. Also on the podcast, Sachin Oza, Co-Chief Executive Officer of Rehabol Resources. And Sachin, because I wasn't here, chatted to Anita from Vox, and he gives an update on their operations to date. Plus, I have John Mayer, Mining Analyst and Partner at SP Angel, and we talk about, is it bullish in the resource sector, or is he bullish for 2019? So, taking a massive hit of late. And we also talk about bigger stocks like BHP Billiton, Rio Tinto, Anglo American, Macanga Resources in the smaller sector, Anglo Asian, and Blue Jay Mining. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Market in the last 24 hours, and top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists, the top 10 versions of these, at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dr. Clifford Gross, Chairman at Tech Capital, that's TEK. Cliff, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Justin. How have you been?
I've been good. I've been away for a while, so I was away last week, a week and a half. But in the meantime, you've been busy and releasing news, and I see lots of things going on there. And before we get stuck into some of that news, Cliff, can you, summarise? Because there's lots of moving parts, and if people are new to the podcast or not familiar with the company, summarise. Tech Capital, what's it all about, please?
It's about creating value from university discoveries. And basically, we have the world's largest network of universities that we acquire information as to discoveries that their scientists have made that are available for sale or license. We have a rapid value creation model, and we've set up a number of portfolio companies around 60 plus properties that we've acquired. And we have a unique model in the sense that we provide the same services that we use to select and do due diligence on intellectual properties for our own investment. We sell those services to universities and companies around the world. And so that mitigates our operating costs to a large extent. About 40% of our operating costs are covered by the services that we sell. So that's what Tech Capital is. It's a company that has a strong mission to commercialize university discoveries and create value from them for our shareholders and for the public at large.
Yeah, well, let's go into some of those portfolio companies now. In recent news, you've announced you've signed a chief brand officer for Lucid. First of all, Cliff, give a brief description of what Lucid's all about, and then take us into who the brand officer is, please, if you could.
Oh, yeah, happy to. Lucid is a next-generation online eyeglass company. We call it an e-shop, an online e-shop, where we sell glasses online all over the world. And these are glasses that you would buy in your local optometrist or optics shop. They can be prescription glasses, or they can be what are called plano lens glasses. And we have a unique sort of focus on bringing advanced technology into eyewear. Eyeglasses haven't changed all that much since they were first introduced in Pisa in 1290. And the eyeglass business is a huge business globally because roughly 70% of the world needs to correct their vision for one reason or another. The online eyeglass business is roughly $3.8 billion a year. And we aim, through Lucid, to get a section of that business by bringing advanced technology to eyewear that allow you to do things that would otherwise be difficult to do with normal corrective glasses. And our first product, which we launched on the eShop, really just the beginning of the fall in September, is called Lucid Loud, which is a pair of bone-conducting speaker glasses that you could use to listen to music, answer your phone, talk to Siri, all by having a pair of glasses that are Bluetooth-enabled. But these glasses also have, they're proper glasses, they have your prescription incorporated within them, and they look like, you know, somewhat normal glasses. And so that has been actually very well received. We've signed reseller relationships with companies. We have a large Brazilian reseller. We have over 70 organizations that have bought our reseller package to sell the product along with other glasses that they're selling. And Lucid recently signed a really remarkable individual, Richard Sherman, who is a cornerback for the San Francisco 49ers, which is an American football team. And he will be our chief brand ambassador and brand officer. And we're actually developing a line of athletic sunglasses with Richard. We think Richard Sherman will really make a large impact on the business because he is a household name in the athletic market, certainly in the United States and elsewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, obviously, I've not heard of him, but I've heard of the San Francisco 49ers, so he must be quite well known out there.
Well, you can Google him and see. I mean, he's a star. He recently signed a 3-year, $39 million deal with them. He's a unique, well-rounded individual in our reckoning. He's a graduate of Stanford University, so it would be like someone coming from Oxford or Cambridge, you know, going into the National Football League, which is unusual. You know, he's intellectual as well as athletic. It's an interesting combination, sort of like a Renaissance gentleman.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're honored to have him as our chief brand officer, and we're very excited about the muscle that he brings to our future marketing of our glasses.
So that's a big name sign up here, and you've done another sort of big name sign up as well for Guidant, another one of your portfolio companies. And again, just give us a brief summary of what Guidant is, and then tell us about the director you've appointed, please.
Sure. Guidant is a business that we recently assembled within the last year to develop and market patented technology that we've acquired the rights to for controlling autonomous vehicles with software apps using either your smartphone, your desktop, or a smartwatch. Right now, you can't buy autonomous vehicles, fully autonomous vehicles, but that will change in the very near future. In the next 2 or 3 years, you will be able to buy from several companies class 4 and perhaps even class 5 autonomous vehicles. And these vehicles are going to be quite unusual based on what's currently available from the automotive companies around the world. You'll be able to use these vehicles to do different things. In addition to ferrying you back and forth to where you want to go, you could dispatch the vehicle to join an Uber-like pool to earn money and then come back and pick you up at the end of the day. You could dispatch the vehicle to charge itself or to get repaired or to park itself. And all of these dispatches of the vehicle will be controlled, we believe, through software apps, through your smartphone, your watch, or your desktop. And so we recently acquired the exclusive license to what we view as a powerful patent for controlling autonomous vehicles with software apps. And our goal with Guidant is to monetize that technology by providing a license to use the technology as well as software apps. And we brought on board Harold Braun as the chairman of Guidant on the 2nd of October. Harold has had a very storied career. He was the CEO of Siemens Networks USA. Siemens is a New York Stock Exchange company, and he was also CEO of a joint venture of Siemens and Nokia, and he was CEO of Aviat Networks. So he is, exquisitely well positioned to leverage a software technology that has the network features that our software technology has for controlling autonomous vehicles. On top of that, we're interested in adding to the board of Guidant an individual from the automotive industry that had deep automotive industry knowledge. And so we've been working on a professional search to find such an individual. And we were extraordinarily lucky in our reckoning that on the 6th of December, we announced that we brought on board Johan Denishin as a director of Guidant. Johan has had a somewhat remarkable, without overstatement, career in the automotive industry. Most recently, 2018, this year, he was executive vice president of General Motors and president of the Cadillac Motor Division. Prior to that, he was president of Infiniti Motor Company. And prior to that, he was president of Audi of America and Audi of Japan, amongst other positions. So he has perhaps one of the largest skill sets and experience sets in the automotive industry in the world. He's truly a leader, in our opinion, in the automotive sector. And so we're delighted, if not thrilled, to have him join the board of Guidant.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, you are, a sub 3 million market cap company. These are big names. How do you afford them?
Well, to quote a well-known movie, don't measure a company by the size of its wallet, but rather by its ambition and dreams. And our ambition and our dreams are large. And the technology that we tap from the best universities around the world, 4,500 of them, are relatively infinite. And so the vision is what has attracted people of this caliber to our business, not our balance sheet.
Mm-hmm. And so you're not paying through the nose for them. Obviously you have to pay decently, but you're not paying a super amount of money for them.
Well, no, that would be impossible if you look at our balance sheet to do that. We have structured what we believe are reasonable, mutually beneficial deals that will allow for and, in fact, encourage long-term relationships with these individuals. Mm-hmm. And they're on a case-by-case basis how they are negotiated, et cetera, depending on the circumstance of the businesses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, that's a unique feature of our business model. We capture early-stage university discoveries that we think are ready for marketing. The science has already been developed. The research has already been completed. It's really now a marketing project. And then on top of that, we then seek to find individuals who have the roll-up-your-sleeves experience with large companies that have been able to leverage large distribution chains and large markets. And so for our Solarius product, we brought on an individual, a remarkable individual, who was a brand manager of Procter & Gamble. And for Lucid, we got a brand ambassador who was a star in the National Football League. And for Guidant, we got one of the most recognized and respected individuals from the automotive industry worldwide. And so we think that sort of changes the laws of physics a little bit for an early stage business, because instead of adding the risk of early stage management, we're taking early stage high value technologies and combining them with truly experienced hands in terms of management. And we think that compresses the time to market of these early stage businesses and the time to a monetization or an exit event if one were to occur.
Yeah. Well, I did get a question there. So one final question from an investor saying, what is the company doing to monetize their portfolio companies? And you sort of half explained this, but I think they're asking, what is the time to market and what are you doing?
I think it's a good question. And I think to answer the question properly, I just want to provide a little bit of a sort of a statistical backdrop. According to the Venture Capital Association, the average time to exit for an early stage venture capital startup is 8 to 10 years. We reckon within 2 to 3 years, we'll start to see exits from our portfolio because we're doing certain things that are more advantageous for early exits than a traditional venture capital company. For example, by having a very large network of university suppliers, we're mitigating selection bias, what's known as adverse selection. That helps compress the time to exit. By bringing in experienced management from Fortune 500 companies, we believe we compress the time to exit. By selecting properties where the R&D has been completed and they're really onto being commercialized, ready to be marketed, sort of shovel ready to be marketed, that compresses the time to exit. So we reckon 2 to 3 years is more likely a timeline for us. Now remember, of the four companies that we're focused on right now in creating marketplace value, the oldest one is about 2.5 years old, and which is Bellascura, and the others are all about a year old. And so we've been making what we believe is, you know, quite good progress across the portfolio, and we're very excited about the potential energy and the value contained within each of those portfolio companies.
Marvelous stuff. Well, Cliff, one final thing to do, and that's give us three reasons why someone listening right now who's not following the company should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, we believe that we have the best network for finding and vetting university discoveries that are ready for market. And the second and perhaps best reason financially is the sector that we're in, which is a sector that creates or seeks to create value from university discoveries in the UK. That sector tends to trade at a premium of about 15% above NAV. Our current valuation is about 50% less than our NAV. So just getting to parity with our well-respected comrades in the sector would imply a trebling of our share price. So I think, and there's two research reports that are recently out that underscore that. It's not just an opinion that I hold. FinCap did a wonderful report, very thoughtful report, in their initiation of coverage, which is available from their site. And Align Research also wrote a very comprehensive report, and they've been following us for more than a year. And both have us pegged at, you know, around the 19 pence per share valuation. Just to be in line with our sector, no uplift for any of our other inherent strategic advantages that we believe we have. So I think we have a structural reason and we have a financial reason that makes Tech Capital a very compelling buy.
Marvelous stuff, Cliff. Thanks for that. And hopefully we'll be catching up again in the not too distant future. Thanks a lot.
Pleasure, Justin. Enjoy the holidays and be safe in the new year.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me today is Sachin Oza, Co-Chief Executive Officer of Rehobold Resources, an investment company in near-term high-growth upstream oil and gas projects. Sachin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So just tell our listeners three reasons why they should put Rehobold on their Vox Markets watch list.
Certainly. So you provided a bit of background there as to what Rehobold does, and we've built out a portfolio that's very exciting. And the first point is that there's an extremely transformational near-term drilling campaign that is kicking off imminently over a number of opportunities, each of which, as I said, will be transformational to the company. The nature of the assets that we have in our portfolio are ones that can be monetized very soon after successful drilling, either because there's a very liquid asset market for the assets that we're talking about, or they can be put into production, thereby generating extremely high returns. And finally, we're very well funded and continue to look for a series of opportunities that will fill the hopper, both within the existing portfolio and new assets, to carry on this exciting drilling campaign into 2019 and beyond.
And today, Rehobold just put out a lot of different exciting news. Could you tell us a bit more about those?
Certainly. So the RNS runs through the activity across our portfolio. The first point is that we're increasing our investment but maintaining our 32.9% stake in Corallian Energy to accelerate the Curlew opportunity for drilling in 2019. And this is a new project within their portfolio and highlights the execution of our strategy we touched on earlier. But equally excitingly, we still anticipate the December commencement of the drilling campaign across Wick and Coulter, and we'll update the market accordingly. We discussed the activity in California, and while we're disappointed that weather has delayed the drilling on Burnett, we remain very excited about the opportunity to accelerate drilling on the West Brentwood field, as this is a cash flow generator for us today, and we can accelerate that cash flow by drilling a successful well there later this month. We finally talked about Danube Petroleum, and really, it's a complicated funding package in place that we have put together. But what I would like to primarily highlight is that the partner that we have, ADX Energy, was delaying one of the investments they made into it. We've provided the funding to allow the well to go ahead as planned, but also have retained very exciting optionality at Riobol's discretion to take a bigger stake in that company on success, allowing at no cost the Riobold investor to really benefit from the upside potential of that asset. And for us, as I said, it's a very exciting opportunity.
Well, it seems people are normally slowing down a bit this time of year. That does not seem to be the case at Riobold. So congrats on all these projects moving forward. And thank you for joining us today on the podcast.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. All right, John.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Are you feeling as bearish as me? I mean, you're in there, you know, you're a mining analyst, you're in there in the mineral resources and stocks and all that stuff. So these companies, especially pre-revenue, highly correlated to global growth or the perceived global growth, you know? And so, you know, if we're seeing that the global growth is slowing down by like a couple of percent, then they're almost over-leveraged and the share price of these companies overreact, you know? So at the moment, I'm feeling quite bearish. Are you feeling bearish, or do you believe there's reason to be bullish in 2019?
I'm not feeling bearish at all. I'm looking forwards, as the markets always look forwards, at least 6 months. And what I see is that the things that investors are really worried about, Trump tariff issues, the arrests of significant Chinese people in Canada, and stuff like that, Italian debt levels, things that worry a lot of the investors in the world. I think these issues are going to get sorted out. Well, I think the Trump tariff China issue will get resolved. I'm not so sure about the arrest of Chinese VIPs in Canada is necessarily going to get sorted in a hurry, and that is a worry. But I think Brexit, for example, is a minor issue from a global perspective. I mean, it does have the potential to slow down the UK and the European economies, but I think the Italian debt crisis could be a bigger issue going forwards. And I think much of this is going to get resolved. I'm not so sure how easy it is to resolve the Italian debt situation. But I think China and Trump are going to come to some mutual accommodation where both sides will no doubt claim victory. But we're already seeing the Chinese cutting tariffs on US goods into China. Mm-hmm. So that's really quite that's quite positive for me. So I do think that I think the major miners are looking cheap on certain yields. And you know, the juniors are actually looking cheap on, you know, just on market cap terms.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been doing. I mean, at the moment, I've been sitting on about, my portfolio, I've got to about 55% cash, you know? And I'm sort of comfortable with that. And I wouldn't mind you going even more into cash. So I'm looking around where else to put my cash at the moment. Because I'm not really bullish on smaller cap stocks at the moment, pre-revenue stock. I mean, any company that needs to go to the market, I think, and raise equity are going to struggle a little bit, you know, and it's going to be a bit punishing for the shareholders. So I'm looking at companies churning out good cash flow and hopefully with a dividend as well, because of course the share price goes down, the yield goes up as long as they stick to the dividend. But you mentioned there some of the bigger miners there. What miners, which kind of miners have good yields, John?
It's always tempting to sit on cash when interest rates are going up and one can get a little bit more off that cash for for just keeping it there in the bank, and that's a that sounds like a risk-free thing to do. But inflation is likely to come into our system at some stage, and then the value of that cash will get significantly eroded. Now, asset values in many areas are coming down. For example, UK property values appear to be pulling back to some degree, certainly in London anyway. But I think the fact is, if you can put your money into Rio Tinto or BHP, and you get 6.1% yield on Rio Tinto at 2019 and 8% in 8.8 in 2019 for BHP, then this is a much better place for your money, frankly. Even though, I mean, there is risk if there is a global recession next year, but I don't think the policymakers are likely to swing us in that direction. Certainly not intentionally.
Yeah, and I think BHP are renowned for holding their dividend, aren't they? They've held it forever, haven't they? I think they've cut back on it at all, are they, for a long time?
They are very solid. It would be a heinous crime for BHP to cut its dividend, and it would create a crisis in Australia, I believe. Mm-hmm. And if you want to take on a bit more risk, you can look at Anglo American or Glencore or even Anglo Asian Mining, which is producing a 5.2% dividend yield next year on our expectations. And that's looking pretty good for quite an exciting smaller gold mining company.
Yeah, that's another thing, isn't it? Gold, you know? Saying that Anglo Asian Mining share price has gone gangbusters the last few weeks, isn't it? I'm looking at the chart here, gone from 40 odd pence in September up to 92 pence today. Yes, that's quite good, isn't it?
It's a very popular stock, and we're looking forward to some JORC result, an updated JORC report to come out of the company, and I think it's got a good future actually. So we're looking forward to better results from the company going forward.
Yeah. And so gold is a good thing, is it? Interesting thing. I'm looking around, looking for, because in my mind we've been 10 years a bull market, you know, and everything, you know, it's cyclical. We know the stock market is cyclical. And I'm just thinking, we've hit sort of peak everything at the moment. And I'm just worried about unemployment. Even, you know, is it as lowest as it's ever going to be? Can't get much lower, really. And the thing is, when you hear about people, you know, the stock market volatility affects people. Brexit affects people's minds and thoughts. Not just, you know, the average Joe Bloggs who goes to the shop, or his missus, whatever, goes to the shops. But investors, when there's uncertainty, investors do pull investment or potential investment. And this affects, like I said, I'm sitting on cash. I'm sure there's lots of other people sitting on more cash at the moment. And that's the problem, isn't it? When there's this uncertainty ahead, it turns into real. It's, you know, the sentiment in your mind becomes real because we're not investing that money, you know? That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, and I think it's easy for investors to get put off the market. You know, it always seems to be a lot of different risks out there to worry about, and it's the risks that we can't see coming at us that are more difficult to predict. I think things like the impact on the global economy of tariffs are far more obvious, but I think because they're obvious, I think the policymakers can move to avert a certain amount of that. And you can be sure China is not going to want to allow its economy to slow particularly. Although if the Americans stop buying Chinese goods, then there will be an inevitable pullback there. But I suspect there's just a readjustment that needs to happen. China needs to play fair on the tariff game, and they're just going to have to do it. And very fortunately, we've already seen China cut back on their U.S. auto tariffs. I think they need to cut it back further because they cut it back from 40% to 15%. So there's more that they can do, but at least they're showing intent and a willingness to talk to Trump.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think even this morning I did report on that early morning podcast, the five things you need to know podcast I do in the morning, a summary of sort of global economies. And I think Trump was saying he will do what he can to intervene in this, you know, this lady's been sort of released on fraud charges from Huawei or whatever it's called. And they're bringing their auto tariffs to the Chinese down on American cars down from 40% down to 15% were to equal it with the other sort of importers. So they are making positive moves, aren't they?
They are, and I mean, I think the message is very clear. If you break sanctions and trade with Iran, then you are going to get arrested in Canada or the United States. So I think that's a good message to send to the Chinese, is you know, don't mess with the rules. But I think it's something that will get resolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully. All right. And has there been any news? I mean, I've been away for like, 10 days. So I've been sort of connected to the markets. So I've got the app, Vox Markets app, so it pops up RNSs. But I've been off social media and I've not really been interacting in this kind of market anyway. But any news of any worth come out about some small caps of late, John?
There's not a huge amount of news. Makango said they renewed their license at Songwe Hill in Malawi. And the really good thing there is they've got some very high grade rare earth mineral resource or new resource, which I really see as a kind of new discovery. Although it's attached to the existing resource, it's so much higher in grade terms that it's actually very exciting. Other things, you know, rolling on, we saw that HSBC had gone over 8% and they're holding for Blue Jay Minerals. They won't tell us who's actually holding that stock or who they're holding it for, which is very interesting. But who's buying all that stock in Blue Jay Minerals? Why are they buying it? What do they know? My guess it's that stock is being held on behalf of either a mining company or some sort of trade insider. And when I say insider, I don't mean anyone with a bit of inside information. I mean someone who, you know, some organization within the ilmenite titanium mineral sands business. And I just wonder what's going on there. It's a very interesting move. We're expecting word from the company on its updated resource and feasibility study. Probably get that into the new year. Hopefully, might even get the resource upgrade later this year. But I think with markets being so difficult, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of companies hold news over for January when things should look a bit better.
Yeah, exactly. I think that at the moment, it is a case of people are not buying the dips, they are selling the rallies. And any chance people have to get out of a stock sometimes at this distressed position, if a stock releases some positive news, I've seen a couple of stocks sort of almost rally the first half an hour of the market, then almost you can see the sellers come in and it gets taken down, you know? And so any excuse a company's got to hold off for news or to delay some news in some way or slow down, then I think it's wise, because it's almost like putting your head above the parapet. You get shot, you know? It's or by the trenches. It's not good. But hopefully it'll turn more bullish. I'm still hopeful of last week's Santa Rally, John. Me?
Well, we always get a sell-off when the hedge funds go risk-off around Thanksgiving Day, and then you've got a few people who sell shares in order to pay for Christmas, which gets more and more expensive every year, from what I can see. And what that provides some bargain price opportunities just ahead of Christmas and over that Christmas New Year period. So if anyone's got some cash in the bank, it's a good time to soak up some of these smaller companies.
Marvellous stuff. Thanks, John. We obviously do your own research there, and hopefully we'll chat and catch up next week, John.
Look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At 5, 7 Digital Group, 7 DIG. At 4, Anglo African Oil and Gas, AOG. At 3, Superdry, big fall of the day on the profit warning, SDRY, I think. At 2, Trinity Exploration and Production. And the most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours is Strategic Minerals, SML. Okay, top 5 most liked RNSs are as follows. At 5, i3 Energy. That's Energy Provides Serenity Update. At 4, Eco Energy, Change Advisor. At 3, Frontier Resources, Financing Update. At 2, UK Oil and Gas, Acquisition of Interest in Arrowton Oil Discovery. And number 1, most liked RNS, came from Horizonte Minerals. That's Araguaia NI43101 FS filed and Stage 2 expansion. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.